We have a whole new identity, friends, as beloved children of God, to imitate our Father, to follow the Son, to live by the power and infilling of the Holy Spirit. We are children of God. Now live like it. That's Paul's point.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you're joining us today as we explore Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Pastor Philip, you said we're children of God, so we need to act like it. We need to live like it. Does that happen instantaneously, or is this more of a process?
Well, it is true. Like, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we're sealed, we have new power, but we've been rescued from death to life. That change comes early, instantaneous. We don't have to live the way we used to. It's a whole new day. And yet, there's a sense in which we are going to walk out that holiness and righteousness progressively. It's going to take time to become more and more like Jesus. And so we do get all the power right away, but learning to implement that power, live it out, walk in obedience and trust and faith and holiness, that's going to take some time and learning and growth and process. And that's what we're talking about today. Paul's going to encourage us to imitate God our Father as we learn to walk in holiness following Jesus.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we will learn how to live upward, looking to God. Now, this is part one of the sermon, Children of Light.
Last week, we were visiting family, and we stopped by our old house, and the thing I noticed the most when I saw it was how much the trees had grown. Have you ever done that, gone back to a place you used to live and see those trees you planted or think your landscaping, go, wow, look at that change. You know, here's what's weird. It was growing all the time that I lived there, right? But I never noticed it. It was only when I came back over time, and then I could see the growth. You know, there's so much power in the quiet, organic, incremental growth of living things. And the same thing is true of the growth that God is doing in our lives. When the seed of the gospel is planted in our lives, as the Father redeems us in the Son and gives us the Holy Spirit, the new life of God that is coming to life, growing, planted in us, it's slow and steady. And sometimes you don't notice when it's happening. You're too close to see it. But every so often, you catch a glimpse. Maybe over time, you realize you see a shift, or maybe other people notice change in you, and they say things like, you know, you're way more patient than you once were. I've noticed you're less anxious these days. You're more encouraging to others. You've grown in your ability to extend forgiveness, right? You can start to notice it over time. It's like my son a couple years ago. He came in, eyes wide, full of energy, and he's like, Dad, I got fast. I was like, wow, when did that happen? He's like, I don't know, but I'm fast, watch. And he ran off, right? It's like he all of a sudden he noticed, I'm fast, when did that happen? It didn't happen overnight, it happened slow and steadily, but all of a sudden, one day, he saw it. There's tremendous power in the quiet, organic, incremental growth of God's life planted in us. Friends, and the change that God wants to bring in your life, it's not superficial. It goes all the way down. It goes to the depths, the very depths of the heart of who you are, and it extends to the breadths of your entire being. God wants to bring transformation completely and utterly to every facet of your life and being. He intends to make you like Jesus himself, which means everything about us ultimately has to change, right? Everything, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling us in the second half of Ephesians. Remember, he kicked off the second half in chapter 4, verse 1, when he said, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now that you've been called from darkness to light, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, I want you to live like it. I want you to live out what's already happened to you by grace through faith in Christ. He says, I want you to put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of your life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. And now in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 21, our passage for today, Paul's going to show us just how comprehensive this transformation project is. So if you will grab your Bibles, let's open them up. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Thanks be to the Lord for the reading of his word. In this passage this morning, we're going to see the three-dimensional transformation that God is bringing into our lives. It is upward, outward, and inward. Three dimensions: upward, outward, inward. Upward, be imitators of God. Outward, be children of light. Inward, be filled with the Spirit. Okay? That's our roadmap for this morning. Let's bow our heads, let's pray, and ask the Lord to be our teacher. Father, we know that you intend to transform every dimension of our being, all that we are, that we might be gloriously like Jesus Christ. If we're honest, we sometimes grow weary at how slow the progress seems to be. But Father, would you give us a joyous confidence today to keep in step with the Spirit and to make progress on this road toward holiness. Make us like yourself, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. So first of all, upward. First dimension of our transformation, upward, be imitators of God. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. That's quite a command, isn't it? Quite a command. That's an audacious command, right? I want you to be like, be an imitator of God. What he does, you do. What he thinks, you think. I want you in every way to imitate God. Oh, that's it, huh? That's all? Yeah. Be imitators of God. It's all over the Bible, even in the Old Testament. Leviticus 21, verse 8. Be holy, for I am holy. Matthew 5:48, at the very heart of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So the calling is uniform. All over the Bible, we are to become like God our Father. Now notice, this calling to imitate God does not come as those who are trying to pull up their own bootstraps, or as those who are trying to prove themselves, or as those who are trying really, really, really hard to be better people. No, it comes as beloved children. This is important. Now that God has made you alive in Jesus Christ, now that the Father has adopted you as his beloved child, now that the Son has redeemed you in his blood, now that the Holy Spirit has sealed you forever, indwelling you, now that you are saved by grace through faith in Christ as a beloved child of God, be an imitator of him. You see, what was impossible prior to grace is now imperative by grace. What was impossible before grace is imperative by grace now. As children grow in the imitation of their parents, that's the normal pattern, so shall God's children grow in imitation of him. As beloved children, forever secure in the love of our Father, Paul says, be imitators of God. Like father, like child. Look to him, follow him, act like him. Be holy as I am holy. So the Father is our pattern, you see. He's our pattern. Now, how on earth could we ever get there, right? How do we get there? Well, we have someone to follow. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If God the Father is our pattern, then the Son is our path. The Father is our pattern, the Son is our path. He's the one who shows us the way. And notice the description here, a fourfold path that Jesus walks. Verse 2, it is a loving path, it is a self-giving path, it's a sacrificing path, and it is a God-pleasing path. He loved us, he gave himself up for us, he sacrificed himself, and he gave himself as a fragrant offering, pleasing to the Father in every way. See, Jesus is showing us the way, he's showing us what God is like as he lives among us, as he empties himself, as he pours himself out in radical self-donating love, as he sacrifices himself for others, as he pleases the Father in every way, every day of his life. He's showing us what God is like. And if you want to imitate your Father, follow Jesus, right? If you want to imitate God, you follow Jesus. You walk in love. You give yourself away. You sacrifice yourself for others. You offer your life as a pleasing sacrifice before God to please him in every way. But how can self-centered, self-absorbed, self-obsessed, self-protective people like you and me, if we're honest, right? How on earth do we get the power to imitate God by following Jesus? How do we do it? The answer is all the way down in verse 18, the second half. We'll look at this verse later in detail, but let's just see it now, where Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. So the power to become imitators of God as we follow the way of Jesus comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that kind of life-altering transformation, that same power lives and is at work in you, conforming you to the image of Christ so that you might imitate your Father as you follow the Son by the power of the Spirit. You see, the Father is our pattern, the Son is our path, and the Spirit is our power. The Father is our pattern, the Son is our path, and the Spirit is our power. Notice all three persons of the triune God who are now working, collaborating for your transformation. We have a whole new identity, friends, as beloved children of God, to imitate our Father, to follow the Son, to live by the power and infilling of the Holy Spirit. We are children of God. Now live like it. That's Paul's point. Act like it.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're with us today as we unpack Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul is exhorting us to be imitators of God. Now, Pastor Philip, the disciples lived with Jesus. They saw him. They observed him. They could see him. You tell us that we now should follow Christ, but how do we do that if we can't see him?
Yeah, good question. So obviously Jesus is not here physically with us in the same way that the disciples had him. And yet Jesus says, it's good that I go away because I'm going to send the helper who will be with you and will be in you. And so we actually get an upgrade when we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The disciples looked at Jesus and they could see his righteousness, but they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit to help them actually live that out and imitate what they saw. And so we have the Holy Spirit in us, which means God is now closer than the air we breathe. He's on the inside changing us. That's a huge asset. The other thing is we can see Christ in his word, right? We can read the Gospels. We can watch Jesus in action. We could see what he's doing, how he's acting, how he's responding, what godliness and righteousness look like in the pages of Scripture. That's a huge resource. Another thing we have is we have the church. We've got the body of Christ. We've got brothers and sisters who are imperfectly, admittedly, but trying to follow Christ, to imitate our Heavenly Father and follow the way of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. And that means we get glimpses of what righteousness and holiness and faithfulness look like in other people around us. And this is where, you know, Paul will say, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, we're all following Jesus, but if you want to know what Christ-likeness looks like, come follow me, which is interesting. It's a risky thing to say because we're imperfect beings, but he knows I'm running after Jesus, and I know that's true about my life, and when I mess up, I'm quick to make it right. And so if you want to see what someone striving after righteousness and holiness looks like, follow me. I think that's a beautiful thing. And so there are people, I would encourage all of us to find people in our churches, in our communities, somebody that you look at and you go, wow, that person really loves Jesus. That person is really trying to walk in holiness, not perfectly, of course not.
Like a mentor.
Someone like that, that you can look up to and learn from and just try to find ways to spend time with them, right? Mentorship can feel really intimidating at times. Will you mentor me, right? That's a hard question to ask. But what you can do is just come up and say, hey, would you help me with this? Would you give me some advice about how to handle this in my life? How do you read your Bible and stay consistent? How do you love your wife? How do you take care of your kids? How do you learn how to integrate your faith with your work? Ask questions and then go do something with it and report back. That's how mentorship relationships begin. And I think God's given us a huge gift in our brothers and sisters if we would pay attention to it.
You know, I love that. And I love the practical pointers that you gave. Some of our listeners, though, may be saying, you know, I had a mentor and they failed. They sinned. They disappointed, and certainly that had a profound impact on my walk and our whole church or even our family. What's a good biblical perspective if you've got a mentor that has fallen into sin?
Yeah, first of all, as a pastor, my heart just goes out, right? I'm so sorry that that happened to you and the pain that you've endured. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to acknowledge it. It hurts and it was wrong. The repercussions of our lives have far more impact than we realize. Like the sins that we do ripple out and it's hugely damaging. This is why we got to take our walk with Christ seriously as leaders, right? The other piece here is the reason you see it as a scandal is because it's not like Jesus, right? That's why, and they should have been. And so what you're doing is you're actually comparing them to who they ought to have been, which is the beauty of Jesus Christ. And so my encouragement is don't give up on Jesus.
Amen.
Just because somebody let you down, you know? Mm-hmm. If you go to a dentist and you have a bad experience at a dentist, you don't give up on your teeth and flossing and brushing and taking care of them. You go find a better dentist, right? And I think what happens in church is sometimes people go to a church and they get burned or they follow a leader and that leader lets them down. And then they just kind of give up on everything. And I would encourage you don't give up on your dentist when you have a bad dentist. Don't give up on the church or on Jesus just because you had a bad experience. There's a lot of good pastors. There's a lot of good Christians that are trying to do their best to follow Jesus, not perfectly, but they're worth getting around and trying to follow Jesus together. So I think acknowledging the pain, recognizing the reason you feel that gap is there is because it's not like Jesus. Don't give up on Jesus and then get around a healthy environment. The way we heal is by doing the same thing we did before, but doing it with healthy people and in a healthy way. And so the best thing you can do is put yourself back out there and start again. I know that's scary, but that would be my encouragement.
I really appreciate the reminder, too, about the corporate impact of sin. It's not just that person and you and your family. It does. It ripples out to the whole body. And that's why it becomes so important to get back to who is it we're following, not the person, right, but Jesus.
Yeah. And I think we also acknowledge that it is heartbreaking when God's people who are supposed to be living this way don't. You know, I think we need to say both of those things at the same time. This is wrong. It's sinful. And we need to call it out and own it. And at the same time, point to Jesus, because Jesus will never let us down. He's trustworthy and faithful. He proved his perfect love for us on the cross when he gave everything for us. And so he's worth following to the very end, even when people let us down. He's faithful, right? He's faithful, even when we are faithless.
And amen. So next time, we're going to look at how this upward change radiates outward. Now, Pastor Philip Miller and the Living Hope team have selected a resource that we believe will be a genuine blessing and help to you in your next step of your spiritual journey. Have you ever found yourself wrestling with the question, if God is in control, why should I pray? That tension is real for many of us, but Scripture clearly shows us that our prayers matter deeply. God has ordained prayer as a path to fellowship and a way for us to join him in his work. Pastor Erwin Lutzer's book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, will help you embrace this mystery. You'll learn how to lay hold of God's willingness to help and bring your thoughts and will in line with his purposes. As Pastor Lutzer encourages us, never interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. For a limited time only, we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's Living Hope Offer, 1-800-215-5001. Now, you can also write us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, that's Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks again for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.